Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com. The number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.
You're listening to Farming News with the Irish Farmers Journal.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Irish Farmers Journal Farming News podcast. Barry Murphy with you here from the news team. I'm joined on the line by our news editor, Katrina Morrissey, agribusiness editor, Lorcan Roach-Kelly, and sustainability specialist, Siobhan Walsh. Over the next 20 minutes or so, we'll discuss where we're at the latest proposals for a suckler cow cull. Minister McConlogue has been tight-lipped on the matter. I am proposing the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Report, and Katrina will tell us more. We also take a look at the ongoing developments at Kerry Co-op, Dawn Meats, 100 million investment on environmental measures and Ireland's nitrogen reduction target. Lots to go on through, so we'll kick into it. Katrina, over to yourself first. Our page one story this week again looks at this proposed suckler cull. You report that some 200,000 suckler cows could be up for the chop through herd reduction schemes, but that the minister has yet to give his view. Can you first remind listeners where these proposals came from and then maybe go into where we're currently at with them?
Yeah, so I suppose last week we revealed the contents of the Food Vision Beef and Sheep Report. They were published on Wednesday afternoon, just as we went to press. And contained in that, there was about 12 or so measures, but the two biggest talking points were two suckler reduction schemes. So one of them is an exit scheme. It's a recommended exit scheme where farmers would get out of suckler cows completely. And the other one is a suckler reduction scheme where they would agree to go into a scheme for a specified number of years and reduce their number of cows. So that was our headline last week. This week, it is, you know, I suppose it's the fallout from that. And in that, what we have is a reaction to it. I mean, we have some farmers talking about their opinion of it and saying that, you know, they're trying to basically decimate the suckler herd. But I suppose one of the significant things that came out between today's paper and last week's paper is Meat Industry Ireland actually put some very, very strong figures on it. They've estimated that the measures, the suckler reduction and the exit scheme measures, would cut 1.5 billion from the rural economy. So that's a huge number to come out with. They have estimated that based on job losses. So they say if the suckler throughput through their factories was reduced, that would result in job losses, associated job losses then if factories were closed. And they also say it would result in 14,500 farmers leaving the sector. They also have the figure of the 200,000 suckler cows to be culled. And that is based on their estimate of what this report would mean for the industry. So some really stark figures in it.
Yes, as you said it yourself, Katrina, very stark figures and ones I'm sure lots of suckler farmers will be quite frightened by and concerned over. And I suppose, look, our beef editor, Adam Wolds, has more on that on page 8 and 9. He has a bit of write-up on farm org reaction, some comment, and we farmer reaction there as well. But I suppose, look, I was down at the Irish Creamery Milk Suppliers Association AGM on Monday of this week, myself and our colleague, Pat O'Toole, and Minister McConlogue gave a speech where he said, look, this plan from the Food Vision Group, it's going to feed into the Climate Action Plan. I think we expect it next week. How is this all going to shape up, or is it going to work at all?
Well, we questioned the minister fairly closely on that this week, and he was not giving anything away. All he would tell us was that he was examining the recommendations of the two reports. So there are two reports covering three sectors. So there's the dairy report and the beef and sheep report. Incidentally, Barry, as a sheep farmer yourself, you'll have noticed that sheep farmers were getting away fairly lightly in the report. But these are expected to feed into the climate action plan. At the end of the day, I suppose, on the horizon is the 25% reduction in carbon emissions from agriculture by the year 2030. That's the end goal for all of these reports. This is what they're all feeding into. We expect to see this in, I would strongly expect to see elements of this into the final, the climate action plan for 2023. What's really at play now, Barry, is, and this is the crux of the matter, there are some farmers who would be interested in getting out or cutting down on suckler cows, but nothing so far has given them any indication of what this scheme might pay them to reduce or get out. So there are farmers who might be thinking of retiring fully. There are farmers who might be thinking of scaling back a bit. These proposed schemes could suit them very well, but at the moment, there is no talk of what the compensation payments would be. There is an outline of a scheme there that says there will be an annual payment for farmers to get out for a specified period of time. And there are rules, you know, proposed rules recommended there that they wouldn't be able to have any other breeding ruminants, with the exception of sheep, they would be allowed on the farm if they signed up for these schemes. So I think a lot, if these schemes go into the climate action plan, farmers would be very, very put out if there isn't some euro figures put on these things, because otherwise they're being asked to step into the abyss.
Absolutely, an abyss facing farmers, and they're going to have to get some sort of sums on it if they're to do the maths and weigh up the benefits of such a scheme. But you are right, I have been talking to a few farmers myself who, I suppose, coming towards, you know, the end, they're looking to retire, look at the end of their career, looking for not ways out of the sector, but would definitely be open to exploring the possibilities of such a scheme. And another one that will feed into reducing emissions is acres, and we see the deadline for the scheme closed yesterday. Our sheep and schemes editor Darren Carty reports on page 3 that applications surged over 35,000 as it came to a close. Can you tell us a bit more?
Yeah, so this scheme is obviously the new GLOSS, or the new REPS, whatever you want to call it, for farmers who are familiar with the previous agri-environmental schemes. The Department of Agriculture had set a target of 30,000 farmers going into this scheme. It seems to have been very popular, particularly this last minute surge. Some of the measures do pay very well. So things like the riparian zone, if you have land bordering a river or a stream, and you can set it aside and basically not farm it under the terms of this scheme, that's a highly rewarding payment under this. It's 1,500 euros a hectare. I think farmers who feel that it would suit them have signed up for measures, and that, you know, at the end of the day, to supplement your income, you need some of these schemes. And it looks like farmers have really jumped in for this scheme towards the end. Darren had a figure there, 35,000, that applications were gone over 35,000. There is some suggestion that it's gone as close as 40,000 before the deadline of midnight. The question now, of course, will be, will the Department of Agriculture have the money to pay all of those farmers to allow them into the scheme? So the way I see it working out is either they will have to put more money in the pot to allow everybody in, or will there be an underspend in the fund? You know, let's say farmers don't apply for the maximum enough measures, or the measures that would draw down the maximum money. Does that mean that there will actually be an underspend within the first 30,000 farmers that would allow other farmers in? There is a grading effect, I understand, or a grading kind of process. So some farmers are prioritised entry into acres as well. So it's going to be very interesting, I think, to see how many will get in the end, and what level of funding is applied to them.
Yeah, absolutely, Katrina. I suppose at the end of the day, it's near 40,000 farmers, or potentially 40,000 farmers signing up for environmental measures. And that's only a good thing. And it's a good news story there. So it'll be interesting to see the detail of who's in and who's out of that scheme in the days and weeks ahead. But moving on now to our agribusiness editor, Lorcan Roach Kelly, and back to beef. You know, it's an interesting one for sure, Lorcan. Look, and sticking with yourself and Pat O'Toole report extensively on the ongoing developments of Kerry Co-op on pages 26 and 27 of this week's paper. Where is the Co-op at with this one now?
I think that the Co-op is where the Co-op has been for quite a while. They're kind of between two stools or three stools at this point. I think it's a new development. Thomas Hunter McGowan now stepping down in February next year. It's probably not the best timing for the Co-op because the board was looking at doing a couple of things. They wanted to reopen negotiations with the Kerry Group on taking over the Irish business. Remember back in 2021, negotiations along those lines fell apart. I think the two sides between the Co-op and the Kerry Group are about 100 million euros apart on price, but they're obviously like the Co-op are still keen to take over the Irish operations, and so they're going to try and have another go at it. We're not quite sure what way that's going to work out. There's also an SGM where shareholders within the Co-op are trying to reduce the board's ability to spend shareholder funds. That SGM looks like it might have got enough votes to get over the line to actually have that meeting, so that's coming up. And also there is continued the arbitration between Kerry Co-op and Kerry Group over what a leading milk price is. Remember years ago there was the thing where Kerry suppliers were promised a leading milk price, and whether it was a leading milk price or the leading milk price, basically whether Carberry Co-op down in Cork is setting the milk price for Kerry or not, is kind of what it breaks down to. Went to arbitration for a long time. The arbitration report came out in 2019, but now with Thomas Hunter McGowan stepping down, lots of other things happening, that arbitration might go back to stage one again. So anything you followed in Kerry, we have a nice breakdown, Pat's a nice breakdown of the last 10 years. If you've seen the Kerry story for the last 10 years, all of that is back up in play again. There's no real new developments, nothing's been solved, but there's lots going on, so it's very, very interesting to keep an eye on.
Yeah, one we'll be keeping an eye to, Lorcan, for sure. And thanks for joining the podcast this week. Moving on to sustainability specialist Siobhan Walsh. Siobhan, look, on page 3 of this week's paper, you feature a report on how Ireland has met its nitrogen reduction targets. Nitrogen sales fell by some 14%. Can you explain this one for listeners?
Yeah, hi, Barry. Yeah, so look, I suppose positive, first of all, that this has happened. And just to, I suppose, put it into context, Ireland has a nitrogen reduction target to reach as part of the Department of Agriculture's plan to become carbon neutral. That's Ag Climatise. They set out targets to reduce nitrogen use from 408,000 tonnes. That's artificial nitrogen, so the nutrient nitrogen in the fertiliser. So that has to reduce from 408,000 tonnes in 2018 to 350,000 tonnes in 2025, or by 2025, and 325,000 tonnes by 2030. So at the minute, that 14% reduction actually means that Ireland is meeting its reduction target at present. So levels are at 2021-2022. So the fertiliser year runs from the 1st of October to the 30th of September every year. And in that time, 343,000, just over it, 1,000 tonnes of fertiliser were sold. So at the minute, we're actually exceeding that nitrogen reduction target. But look, Barry, the caveat there being that in all reality, while farmers have made big efforts and strides on their farms to reduce their nitrogen fertilizer through clover or protected urea or efficient use of organic manures, whatever it may be, it's the high fertilizer prices that have really driven this reduction in nitrogen use.
Thanks, Siobhan. Lots more in this week's paper, folks. We have full coverage of the ICMSA AGM on pages 4 and 5, including Sinn Féin's promise to not touch farm transfer tax reliefs and a new grant for solar panels on farm buildings. We also look at the upcoming ICSA presidential election and calls for a livestock plane to help with calf exports. More on those and all of the team have discussed today in this week's paper, available in shops across the country now. Thanks for joining and for listening. Safe farming, and talk to you the next time.
We hope you enjoyed this Irish Farmers Journal podcast. You can find all our podcasts at farmersjournal.ie/podcast and on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen,
premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When it comes to your finances, you think you've done it all. You've saved, you've researched, and you've invested all that you can. Now it's time to take those investments to the next level by using the brand behind every great investor, Yahoo Finance. As America's number one finance destination, Yahoo Finance has everything you need, whether you're a seasoned trader or just dipping your toes into the market. Join the millions of investors who trust Yahoo Finance to guide them on their financial journey. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination, yahoofinance.com.